Welcome to the IAB UK podcast.
Hello, James here, and you're listening to the IAB UK podcast. Now, it's no exaggeration to say that this week is a 10 out of 10 episode where I got to sit down in one of Bauer Media Group's brand new podcast studios and talk to Heat Magazine icon and Chief Creative Officer for podcasts and commercial content, Lucy Cave. We get into Bauer's raft of podcast hits, everything from Simon Mayo's Confessions to The Overshare with Gemma Atkinson. And obviously, we go deep on Olivia Attwood's So Wrong It's Right. And what's that special ingredient that propels a show like this to the very top of the podcast charts? We reflect on Where's Your Head At?, a mental health initiative spearheaded by Bauer, Lucy and others that promotes a working world where mental health is supported and protected. And we finish with a quick fire round, harking back to Lucy's days as a presenter on Trouble. But I start by asking her if she agrees that UK podcasting right now really is at the peak of its powers.
It really feels like it's an exciting time in the UK for podcasts. And I think for me, that's why I took on the role to supercharge podcasts across Bauer. I guess my background, it's been a mix of content and commercial. So, you know, several years ago, I ran Heat and I turned Heat into a 360 digital brand. Then I moved into the sort of commercial strategy arena of Bauer and sort of really set that up. And then I'm now back in content and commercial with podcasts. And for me, if you get it right, podcast talent, they are the new media brands, really. Yeah. So I think that's what excited me about the role, because, you know, they can kind of go anywhere. Yeah. You look at things like Fern Cotton's A Happy Place, who was probably the first in terms of just really propelling that transmedia brand across all different platforms. I think the biggest question is, what is a podcast? Yeah. Because I think the traditional podcast, just in pure audio form, for me, that's not where we're going as Bauer, but that is a really key way to consume a podcast. But for me, it's about their digital brands, and they are the new media brands.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's almost table stakes, like you're going to give it the whole Steve Bartlett treatment, you're going to do the tour, there's going to be some merch, there's the whole social thing. Yeah, that's such an interesting question, like, what's a podcast? Because as much of it we hear from YouTube, as much of the listens, in inverted commas, I'm doing, are kind of views of videos anyway, rather than pure listening.
Yeah, so I think you just have to think about the consumption of that brand, really, rather than just purely on listens. And now, when we're putting podcasts out, you never know which one. I think for us, it's now thinking, which one's going to be our super brand?
Yeah.
You've obviously got to take a chance and take a bit of a risk in certain podcasts, calculated risk, but you don't know which ones are really going to fly and which ones might sort of stay steady, but still with a really engaged audience. And I think the ones that are going to fly, the ones you really put all of your armory around and you really sort of build that network around. And that's exciting for us, you know, because we're radio and publishers at Bauer. Also, it's exciting commercially because it means there's loads of different ways that you can tap into that talent and that podcast rather than just in host reads and spot ads.
Clearly, Bauer's got an incredible stable of radio shows, which can convert quite nicely to podcasts. And then you've got kind of these new brands. Talk about some of those in a minute. Do you sort of see a difference between each of them, the take-up, listenership, all that kind of thing? Does the pod for the radio show kind of mirror the radio audience, or is it incremental? And are you finding all these brand new people with all these amazing bits of talent?
I would say to start with, we're sort of scaling back on just the sort of pulling podcasts out of a radio show unless it feels really right and feels really different and it offers something extra to that radio brand and to that talent. I think once upon a time, that's kind of what we did. And I think now we're really sort of a bit more picky around how we do it. However, a good example of it really working is Simon Mayo's Confessions, which, you know, obviously had been a podcast in its own right when he was at Radio 2. It's a real sort of fan favourite on his show, you know, on Greatest Hits Radio. And we hadn't done it. We'd done it as sort of a daily podcast, but we were like, let's do it properly. Let's kind of give the audience what they want. And we put it out in January and it's just grown and grown. So, I mean, it's not one of our biggest podcasts, but it's growing week on week. And I think that's what you need to look at.
Yeah.
And what's been interesting from the sort of response from listeners is some people have just found it and they don't listen to him on air. And they're like, oh, this is amazing. It's back. So I think there are sort of, yes, there is some crossover, but I think there's distinct podcast listeners as well. People who are just fans of him and of it. And it is quite different to the show. So it's not like we're just putting out everything that we put on the show. It's him and the team. There are some bits that you'll hear on the show, but then there's stuff that you don't hear. And I think that's what people like on podcasts. It's the stuff that is a little bit too risky to go on air. And what's been great for us from a commercial point of view as well is that we've expanded the radio sponsorship into podcasts as well. So it's the same partner. So we've got Co-op for On Air, and then they've really bought into that, adding in the podcast into their world. And I think the point to make is, once upon a time, it might have been, you know, added value, and now it's not anymore. 100%. It's kind of, you know, it is in its own right. So that's really building as well. So I think it's additive.
Yeah. You talked about size a little bit there. You said he wasn't one of your big ones. Is size always sort of the golden metric?
Does size matter? Is that what you're saying to me?
This is what we've gone down very, very quickly.
I think it's engagement of that audience, and whether it's the right audience for a brand. For me, you know, we've had Joanna Lumley and her husband, Joanna and the Maestro. We've had Series 3 of that. And that, commercially, you know, so many brands really want her and they want that premium audience. And it's, again, it's not one of our biggest ones, but it's about who that audience is and how you can speak to that audience. So size doesn't always matter, but also it's just about how, you know, dedicated that fan base is, I think. Mm.
Can we talk about Olivia Attwood? I mean, I don't feel like I can not talk about her. So Wrong It's Right. I mean, the trailer quite unbelievably went to the number one spot in podcast charts. I mean, it's beating Alistair and Rory, it's beating High Performance, all of these big names. What was happening there? Was that intentional? Was it a deliberate thing? Were you surprised by it?
I think, look, we've been building this podcast up for, it's been in the offing for several months. You know, have been working with the team from Listen on it. Olivia has been on my, you know, hit list for right from the start, really. She's a massive talent and a massive star. You can't quite put your finger on, like, the sort of alchemy as to why, but I think she's super smart. She's really funny. I mean, ITV, you know, she's one of their biggest talents as well. I think now is really her time. So I think it all sort of lined up nicely for us in terms of this really being her moment. We knew that her fan base was desperate for her to do a podcast. Right. I don't think any of us anticipated that the trailer itself would stay at number one. Like, literally, it was like this 1 minute trailer that was a number one for a whole week. And then we started thinking, oh my God, I hope the actual first episode does as well as the trailer. But, you know, it's just it's smashing all of our targets, and, you know, everyone's really excited about it. And I think the beauty of it is, we worked really hard from a strategic point of view around building this as a brand. Mm. So it wasn't just Olivia Attwood's podcast. This is Olivia Attwood's So Wrong It's Right. We've created its own, you know, social media branding presence, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. There's a lot of thought and a lot of people who've gone into sort of building that. So it's not just sort of worked it out. There's been a lot of care around it. And actually, that's really worked. So it shows, in the same way, you know, from my experience when I've been at Heat, you kind of really have to work hard on all of those social channels and all the different ways that you reach the audiences, and so that's really paid off, because it's not just been in audio that it's been a massive success. I think in that first week we had 350,000 combined views and listens for the sort of long form, which is YouTube and audio. And then over the first 4 weeks, which we're kind of in now, it's been 10 million views across socials, all the sort of social shorts. So for us, sort of hitting that audience in the right way, and also then when we're talking to a commercial partner, you know, we launched with a headline partner before we'd even actually gone to air. So we sort of took they took a risk to come on board with us. Yeah, they took a risk to come on board with us, but they obviously knew that they bought into the power of Olivia. And I think it's partly because she's got this engaged fan base, but also she works really hard. And I think that's the key. She's a brilliant talent. She's super smart and funny, and she really puts her all into it. So I think what I would say is, if you're approaching talent to sort of work with you, you need to know that they're on board. They're on the journey with you. And you can't just, if a talent just signs up to it, turns up and doesn't really do anything else, that's not going to work. She is pushing it on her social channels, then in turn helps build and propel the rest of the network. Yeah. And obviously we've got radio and we've got our publishing brands who have all been sort of pushing it. So we've been able to use our sort of Bauer portfolio in the most powerful way to get the message out and to sort of PR it ourselves. But yeah, it's been a big success. We're all really pleased. It's kind of really her baby now. I mean, she works hard, anyone I know. I just don't think she has any time off, because she's doing this, then she's on her ITV show, then she's left, here, there and everywhere. But yeah, she's great.
And actually, it's even more impressive knowing everything that's going on in the background and almost like the rigor behind it. She just makes it sound so easy. It's literally like her and her mate are just having a chat, and you put a couple of mics down, she's just doing it. I mean, it just sounds flawless. And I think that's part of the appeal for me. It hasn't got that sort of polish and that real structure that maybe some podcast shows have. I mean, you can tell they spend a lot of money on doing it. It just feels quite natural.
But if you listen to certain podcasts, and obviously thanks for saying that, Olivia being one. There's actually a lot of hard work that goes into making it not sound like it's been a lot of work. So,
like this one. All the hard work we've done behind the scenes, just trying to make it look like a casual chat.
I know, exactly that. And I think you need talent who's going to do their homework, which is key. Mm. And for us, I think part of it, you know, we've talked about the sort of the strategy around it, but we've got that, the whole visualisation strategy as well. And we've been really fortunate that we've now got these new studios. Mm. We've built a bespoke set for her. So it feels premium, even though it's kind of quite laid back and relaxed. And it's been a new medium for her as well, so I think she'll be the first to say, you know, when she first came in and did, she was like, it's quite different to my TV shows because it's kind of a bit more exposing because you're just sitting there and you're, you know, it's all her and everyone's sat around there listening to her talk to someone for an hour. But I think she's really enjoyed it. Her audience has certainly really enjoyed it, but she doesn't want it to be just another interview with the same celebrities that are going doing the circuit podcast. Yeah, yeah. So I think there's been a mix of her family and her friends, because that's what her audience wants, and then experts that she's genuinely interested in. So I think that's quite important as well, because otherwise some podcasts will just turn into the same old
so
PR machine
as everything else. And she's got this, she's almost in constant disbelief that she's got this amazing show that's sort of number one, isn't it? She sits down and she almost sort of can't say the title without being actually doing this thing. Like a grown up person doing this podcast.
But I think that's what's then, that's what people like, don't they? If they hear someone just kind of being like, hang on, what am I doing here? And I think that's why people like podcasts and why people listen to, you know, they might listen to their favourite celebrity who's doing it, and it is a bit unpolished, and it is, you know, you look at Sam Thompson and Pete Wicks. Sam Thompson, who's one of our biggest stars on Hits Radio, the stuff he says on Staying Relevant, it would never get on air. And that's, you know, it's another side. I think it's kind of behind the curtains, really, which is what Heat magazine kind of did back in the day, I guess. So it's like, that's sort of what podcasts are doing now, and just letting you into their private world and their private conversations.
Olivia feels like she might be favourite child, but what else in the Bower stable are you proud of?
Yes, obviously Staying Relevant, Sam and Pete, and that was kind of, you know, that's been sort of co-production with Insanity, who and work with Sam and Pete, but we've really sort of visualised that and built it from, I think we grew it from 50,000 and it's now on like 200,000 listens, and then obviously like the Instagram and TikTok of 200,000 followers as well, so that's big. Gemma Atkinson is a really big favourite of mine, so we launched that in September last year. Gemma's overshare, she's obviously one of our big talent at Bower on Hits Radio. We launched it just when she was about to go on mat leave, because we'd had the idea for a while. We've been talking about it with her and her sort of her producer, and really it was born from the fact that she is so relatable, like she's so completely down to earth, and the kind of callers that they've had on air, they just want to open up to her, and just, and you know, they haven't been allowed to have those conversations on air. So we sort of thought about how we would shape that into a podcast, and so that's where Gemma Atkinson's Overshare was born, which is very much her and her audience, and her distinctly from most other podcasts, she was like, I don't want any celebrities on air at all. I don't want to do any interviews with any celebrities.
That came from her,
right. Yeah. And she's just a natural listener, and she has that sort of natural way about her. But we've sort of put her with an expert each week. So each, and the topics are far ranging from, like, you know, when your first date was your last date, to her talking about grief because she lost her dad when she was young. So it's kind of no area is out of bounds. And I think that, again, that shot to number one when it launched on the Apple charts, and it was great. And I think it just showed us that actually there is this whole world of realness and real people that we can tap into and that people want. And in the same way, you know, you look at some sort of real life magazines, people love reading and hearing stories about real people. Yeah. So that's something that we're really nurturing, and I think that could be one of our big super brands as well in the future. So we're looking forward to series two of that when she comes back from mat leave. She's back at work, so we can make the most of her. We haven't got to drag her in when she's meant to be looking after her baby. But yeah, so that's an exciting one for us, and completely different, you know. Yeah. But I think back to my point before about talent when they've got a big social following, and I've, you know, we've looked at talent before. I'm not going to name any names, but I think you can have like a million odd followers on social media. That does not necessarily translate into success as a podcast or a podcast brand. Yeah. It's about just how engaged that audience really is and how much they really kind of want to hear from that celebrity. And also whether that person's going to put in the work, like I said.
I think the personal spin, you're talking about Gemma there, you're talking about Olivia, like it would be so easy to get the people who've got millions on TikTok to go and then do, get the people who are doing the rounds, and Gordon Ramsay's talking about his new thing on 8 different podcasts or whatever. It feels a bit cookie cutter, and I think maybe people have had a little bit, so they know what that is now. You want something a bit different, perhaps.
Yeah, and it's so hard to cut through, I think. That's what I'd say. I mean, you look at the amount of podcasts that are out there that are launching on a weekly basis. You know, how to make sure that you reach those people. I mean, I guess we have that advantage at Bauer because we're talking to people every day on our radio stations, and, you know, in, as part of our strategy, we're not necessarily going, it has to be something that fits one of our audiences, because there is a space to, you know, we also want to grow new audiences. But if you've got talent, so for example with Gemma, obviously she's got the Hits Network because they love her on there, so it's an easy way for us to sort of talk up that podcast and let people know that the podcast is there. In the same way with Olivia, she's kind of, she appeals to the Hits audience, she appeals to the Kiss audience, so and then Heat Magazine and Closer, so there's lots of ways that we know we can sort of connect to all of those audiences, and I think that gives us a bit of an advantage, really.
Are you getting to a point, do you think, where you've almost got this blueprint, almost this kind of thing in your mind of X plus Y kind of equals Z, or is it every time you're thinking of something different, it's kind of starting from scratch on this?
I think we've definitely got a strategy now around how we are building podcasts, but I think back to my point around how much resource do you put behind you can't do it behind everything. I think you need to sort of, you need to put it out. But there's, I think there still needs to be social strategy behind it. It doesn't necessarily be as, need to be as kind of all singing, all dancing as Olivia's is at the minute. But you quickly know whether it's worth growing that and growing that brand in terms of sort of your investment in resource. The bigger the resource, the more reach there is on all of those platforms, and the more you can, you know, you can talk to commercial partners about it as well. So again, it's not just in one format. It means that they can reach them everywhere.
Change gears slightly. Can I ask you about Where's Your Head At?
Yeah.
I mean, it's about 6 years old now. I remember you at the time, front and centre of this, talking about it, particularly in our trade press anyway. For the uninitiated, tell us what it is and maybe give us an update of where you're at now.
So Where's Your Head At was born, about 6 years ago now, between myself and mental health campaigner Natasha Devon. And we basically, you know, had an ambition to really sort of open the conversation across all of our audiences and try and change the law was our ultimate game. You know, just small things. Basically to create parity between the way physical health and mental health are spoken about, particularly in the workplace. Because obviously you've got your sort of physical first aiders. If somebody feels ill or they've had an accident, you know where they are, and there's always someone on any sort of floor in any department. But mental health, kind of pretty much at epidemic levels then, but it's got even much worse now, and mainly because people are more open about it and people are more aware. But our ambition was to sort of ensure that mental health first aiders, that it was mandatory to have mental health first aiders in the workplace. You know, we had a petition going, we got loads of sort of ambassadors, celebrities, people of influence across, and sort of put it across all of our brands and made sure we opened up that whole conversation across everyone. Because obviously, you know, even though our brands are slightly different, mental health, you know, is something we all have. And so that was really powerful. And we've had lots of different iterations of that. You know, we've done to sort of pledge kindness to people just to sort of get it in people's minds still, and you can't stop having that conversation. We had a petition which got over 200,000 signatures that we took to Parliament, and then Brexit happened, and then COVID happened.
Bloody Brexit.
And I think, you know, it's something that we're, and Natasha particularly, is really well connected when it comes to sort of what's going on in government, and we're just trying to push it on the agenda, but obviously we're quite aware that there's probably going to be a change of government as well. So it's like just making sure, and it's actually a cross-party thing, it's not really we're sort of pushing it in that area, but we're also making sure that across our brands it's just still a conversation. I'd like to say that internally it's been brilliant, because, you know, when we first started talking about it, I didn't even know what a mental health first aider was. It turned out we had seven, but they were all kind of, you know, and a lot of brands will be like that, but we had about seven, but a lot of them are in HR, and they're actually, you want them to be people on your level, because if you want to talk to someone, it needs to be completely confidential. You need to have, and now we've got over 60, I think, within our business. So it's been something that's really sort of audience facing, but also internally very important as well. So we're still fighting the fight, but, you know, there's a long way to go in order to, you know, to try and ensure that every business has one, but a lot more have them now than they did before.
Yeah, we've got three at the IAB. We're a very small team, and I guess it's got to stand more than, you know, you pin the certificate on the notice board and you kind of tick the box to say you've got one. I mean,
you've got to keep talking about it, you know. And Mick Coyle, who works across our sort of news team, he's a massive champion of it, and has won several awards in that space because he does a podcast called Mental Health Mondays. He's been pushing it for a long time. So he's a real sort of force to be reckoned with in Bowen, which is about keeping that conversation going and making sure people are aware of it and know that they can talk to people and sort of, you know, it should be part of your sort of employee onboarding, which it is now for Bauer as well.
We were thinking up what would be an entertaining finish for our listeners. Now, not only were you editor at Heat, but before that, you were the presenter on Trouble, which was the formative.
Do you actually remember Trouble?
Yeah, I was brought up on that. My teenage years. Maybe that's given away a lot.
Trouble TV. It was a trailblazer in its time.
It was superb. So we thought we would give you three quickfire questions on Trouble.
Okay.
And you haven't seen
these. Yeah, no, I haven't,
though. So they're going to be there.
Oh, you haven't dredged up awful haircuts of mine.
We haven't.
But you can't see that here.
We haven't got any awful haircuts. No. We found an interview of you and Anton Deck, a very young Anton
Deck.
Did
you?
And he's got, Ant's got his hair in sort of weird things.
Were they PJ Duncan then or Anton Deck?
I think they were PJ.
Yeah,
he was still in his sort of Biker Grove things. Question one. Trouble launched in 1997, but it was tragically axed by Virgin Media Television in which year?
Oh, probably around the time I joined Heat, I expect. 2001?
2009.
Oh.
Maybe half a mark. How many years we landed for it? Okay.
No.
All right. Okay.
I'd gone by that point, so it's fine.
that's the warm-up. Saved by the Bell had two spin-offs. What were they called?
Saved by the New Class was one of them.
Yeah.
Hang Time wasn't one of them, was it?
Oh, no. Hang Time, I loved.
Do you remember Hang Time?
Yeah, Hang Time was good.
I was in an episode of Sweet Valley High as well.
Were you?
Yes. Yeah, but you didn't get that one.
Light drop.
Hang on, Saved by the New Class. Was there something with Zach on his own? I don't know.
The college years.
Oh, the college years.
Of course it was.
Yes, sorry.
Of course it was. Doing all right, doing good. Okay, it's a softball, it's an easy one.
Okay.
You won't get this wrong.
Oh.
What was the name of Tia and Tamana's annoying neighbour in Sister?
Do you know what? Sister was on Nickelodeon and it was not on Trouble.
It was on Trouble,
it
no?
It wasn't, not when I was on it.
We need to change. Yeah. We need to change the Wikipedia because it's wrong.
Yeah, well, Wikipedia says I'm about 108 years old as well. I don't know who does it. I remember when I used to go on dates, and I remember someone saying to me, "Oh, you look good for your age." And I was like 43 then, when I was about 21. And someone has got something against me on Wikipedia, and they keep going and change. I found out how you could change it back to the and my. Birthday's just in January when it's actually June. So I don't know who it is and what they're doing. But anyway,
You can pay these people now.
Yes.
You pay these companies again.
I know, that's quite good business.
What was the name of their annoying neighbour and sister?
Janine? I don't know.
Roger.
Oh.
It was Roger.
I know.
I would say 6 out of 10.
Okay, thanks.
It was good for effort. Lucy Kay, thank you so much for being on the IBK podcast.
Thank you.
Bauer Media Group's Lucy Cave there, just casually dropping in that she featured in an episode of Sweet Valley High at the end. Missed entirely, I should say, by the IAB UK podcast researchers. Don't forget, tickets for this year's Engage, our annual flagship event on Tuesday, the 4th of June, are now on sale. And if you're on the ball, you can pick up one ticket and get another half price in our early bird offer, which ends on the 31st of March. You just need to enter Engage EB, all one made up word, when prompted at the checkout. Thank you, I should say, for all your comments and feedback on our Leadership Summit episode, particularly the Sophie Ridge special that we did. Delighted to hear how much you enjoyed it. And if you like this episode, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, the usual drill, wherever you listen. Thanks very much for listening.
IAB UK, building a better future for digital advertising for the benefit of everyone.